For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I say to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Thank you, Dr. Q. Awesome. As you hear the word being shared with you each week, we have one more week as we're moving through this series on grace and the liberator, exactly what Jesus wants to bring to us, freedom in our lives. So Christ has truly set us free. Make sure that you stay free. Make sure that you stay free. And so the message that we've been sharing each week is the importance of understanding grace and how God wants to work in each of our lives as a result. We have one more week that we'll be working through this, and then we'll be starting our series just before our 40 days. And during our 40 days of prayer and fasting, we're calling it Eyewitness Views. And so you're going to hear an eyewitness account from one of our pastors each week as they share a little bit about a perspective of looking into the events that happened during Holy Week. And so that's going to be our whole series as we're walking through. And we've written our devotional for you. And each of our team, both our directors and our pastors, have written a devotional that you'll be using during that time. So I think you'll enjoy it a lot. I'm looking forward to that series. We're talking about the importance of free servants or burdened slaves. Free servants or burdened slaves. And there's a lot that I could emphasize a part of this segment that was shared with you this morning. Interestingly enough, a veterinarian tells us that they should go ahead and emasculate them. That scripture, you can go look those up if you want to make sure you understand what all that means. But I thought it was kind of irony in the whole process. But there's a lot to be understood about circumcision that is a part. And part of the reason why Paul shared that particular statement is it actually was a practice that was a part of the pagan worship that was a part there. So there's, you know, he's saying, like, if you're going to go that way, then just go all the way and go ahead and go into pagan worship if that's what you're going to do. So probably understanding the context helps us a little bit to understand the process. Plus, he was explaining the difference between Hagar and Sarah and the slave child and the free child. And so understanding the heritage that is theirs. Now, that would have been particularly significant to the Jews as they would have been listening at this point because this was very much a part of their process. So that particular aspect of it doesn't have as much relevancy or understanding for us in our faith journey, but the concepts definitely do. And that's why I'll be talking this morning about the difference between a free servant or a burdened slave and what that means. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts and our minds to hear your voice this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus calls us to be free servants. Jesus calls us to be free servants. It's very important that we'd understand what that means in our world and what that means in our daily living for God. To be a free servant, to make sure I am freely giving myself to serve God. And so that particular, first of all, we know he calls us to be free by grace through faith. And so this is all a choice and a decision that we're making of fully surrendering ourselves to God and saying, Lord, here I am. I am willing to be your servant today. A great prayer every day when you would begin your day is, Lord, I'm your servant. Use me. Just use me, however you want to use me, because you're putting yourself in a place where God can work. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. You can't take credit. And that's why it's so important that we'd understand our spiritual journey. It's nothing, no credit to ourselves, only to a God that we serve who's able to work in our lives and make us who we are. Jesus brought us into a relationship with him that brings freedom. Now, the unfortunate thing is we don't often see people with the joy and the freedom in following Christ. And so that's what I think is very important that we grasp hold of this concept this morning in a deeper way, because the scripture says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And so there should be more freedom as a follower of Christ than in any other kind of relationship or any other walk or any other life. And so that's why it's so important that we'd understand what that means. Now, Jesus walks with us in this new freedom. And so he is there with us. And so whatever God calls you to do, you're not going to walk alone. He's going to walk with you and he's going to be with you. And so you can be confident in that, whatever it is that's happening in your life. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Meaning, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. You don't have to fear about what's ahead. You don't have to fear about tomorrow. You don't have to fear about what you're going to do and how things are going to come down. You need to trust and live in freedom. And that's what he's called us to do. So we have to. Now, that goes counter to our own thoughts because, you know, we want to make sure that we have everything in place. We want to make sure, especially if we're a planner. Now, some who are not planners and they just kind of wing it and fly by the seat of their pants wherever they go, this is not such a big deal. But for those who are planners and those who like to be able to know where they're headed, or those who are controllers and like to be in control, this is a greater challenge as you walk through that because you're feeling the heaviness and the burden of all of that. Jesus lives through us. And so it's important as he walks with us, he lives through us in all that we're doing. He said, my old self has been crucified with Christ, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, there's a challenge for us to think, what does that mean? It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And what does that look like? So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I still am in this body, but it's no longer I that live. So I've got to figure out, how do I surrender my desires? How do I surrender my life, my will, my choices, all to his will and his choice? Now, Jesus did not call us to be burdened slaves. He did not call us to be burdened slaves. As I was thinking about this, I thought probably one of the best ways to be able to understand this might be to see scripturally what that would look like and what that would be. And as Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 11, Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. Now, the Pharisees were under a huge burden, right? They had to obey the law. And so the whole law was resting on them. And so they were feeling this heavy burden of making sure. Now, we tend to say Pharisee, we associate with hypocrite. But that really wasn't the intent. Now, that's what our takeaway is today. If we say, oh, he's a real Pharisee, we kind of mean it like, oh, he's a real hypocrite. But the reality was that that's not where the intent was. That's now how it began. Because the Pharisees were really schooled in the law. So they were schooled in all of the issues that were a part of the law, understanding the law, and were living by the law. But there's a problem when we live by the law. And that's what this burden that started to happen. So, as Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he decides to go with him. He went in and took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. Now, so what we have to understand first, Jesus was willing to go to the home of the Pharisee. So, he was going to go there. He had an intent and purpose. As always, he doesn't waste anything. I always say, God is the great economist. He uses and takes advantage of every opportunity and everything that's before him. And so at this point, he goes, but he doesn't participate in the hand-washing ceremony that was required by Jewish custom. So there's something he's communicating. And here's what he begins to say. Here's the difference between a burdened slave and the difference that we talk about a free servant. The burdened slave looks on the outside and is judgmental. You know, I really think there's something that we can take away and listen and hear and learn from the burdened slave. And interestingly enough, we might find ourselves more under the category of the burdened slave than we do of the free servant. One of the greatest criticisms of the world looking on the church is they see that we are very judgmental. I think it really is revolving around the whole thing of being burdened and not being free. because it's real easy to look on the outside and be judgmental. I think we have to consciously make a choice. I'm not going to allow myself to be prejudiced by my external thoughts. It's really interesting how we can make judgments and decisions about people and things without knowing the whole picture. And God has a way of taking us through some things personally ourselves so we become less judgmental, more loving, more unconditionally loving those in our world, and not always falling into that trap. He said, "Then the Lord said to him, 'You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness.'" He was quick. He didn't fall into the category of doing the ceremonial things because he wanted to communicate something bigger. The fact is, the ceremonial washing only cleaned the outside. It didn't clean the inside. Only by the grace of God can we really be clean on the inside. Because the nature of us is to be judgmental. The nature of us is to be checking off a list and seeing if people line up to what we think they should be doing. A burdened slave takes care of the minutiae, that means the little things, and neglects the bigger issues. They take care of the minutiae. You know, it's like some things, like, you know, like everything's a mess, and you feel like, well, if I could just straighten this little thing, maybe everything would look better. Well, it doesn't. But sometimes people become so focused on kind of misplaced guilt. They kind of feel guilty about something small when there's something really big in their life that really needs attention. The fact is, this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were kind of keeping to the law and a few things, but there were bigger issues that were not being taken care of. Sometimes people have a list of things that Christians should look like or should do, and they will hold fast to those laws while the inside of the heart is still very wicked. This is a burdened slave, someone who finds their spiritual journey a burden. The fact is that when sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe. There's a New Testament command that Jesus is saying. You should tithe. It's a part of what we should do. But do not neglect the more important things. If you think just doing something on the outside takes care of the inside, you're wrong. Make sure that you're not ignoring justice and the love of God, because those are the bigger things that are on the inside. A burdened slave is filled with pride and self-importance. They're seeing themselves as proud. They're seeing their own importance as so significant. And the scripture says, when sorrow awaits you, or what sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you love to sit in the seats of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk in the marketplaces. Now just think, Jesus is saying this in the guy's house. I mean, like, whoo. I can just imagine the walls that are going up all around him, right? He's not holding back. He's making sure that you understand this is the problem, folks. This is the problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. You like to have those special seats. What does Jesus say about special seats? He said, sit in the back and let somebody else choose to honor you and move you forward to a place of honor. In other words, don't be pushing yourself for a place of honor. Let others do that. Don't blow your own horn. Let someone else. The importance of making sure that it's not our pride that's pushing forward and our own feeling of self-importance, but our trusting God to be able to work through it. Let's let God take care of those things. A burdened slave is hypocritical, seeking to conceal his evil. There's this sense of hypocrisy because it's really easy. It's so easy to become judgmental and think what other people should do when, you know, they always say when you're pointing a finger, there's three others pointing at you. The fact is, it's so easy to point at others and to be able to say what they should do when all the time there's something that God wants us to be aware of and us to do. And so there's a great importance of seeking to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this experience? What do you want me to learn as a result? He said, yes, what sorrow awaits you, for you are like hidden graves in a field. You see, they couldn't touch a dead body. They couldn't touch that. So this was an important part. That's why he said a hidden grave. And he said, people walk over them without knowing the corruption they are stepping on. And so this hypocrisy that existed was so detrimental. It's easy for us to fall into those traps, but it's a burden when we do. A burdened slave looks at his faith as burdensome. They look at their faith journey. I want to tell you, if your walk with Christ is a heavy burden, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You're feeling like you have to do everything. You're feeling like you have to line up with this. Something's wrong with the heart. Something's wrong with the heart. Because you need to make sure it's a joy to follow God. And that's what we have to understand. So what's wrong? And so Christians should really be the happiest people on earth. We should be the ones with the greatest joy. Because he said, yes, Jesus said, what sorrow also awaits you experts in religious law, for you crush people with unbearable religious demands, and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. So this law continues to be heavy on people. They find burden after burden, and they can't find joy in following God. We are to find joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are to find a great place of enjoying God's presence and his walk with us, and it should not be burdensome. When it's burdensome, you're following a bunch of laws and a bunch of rules. And I would suggest you stop following those and start finding a personal relationship with Christ as he wants to direct you and as he leads you. You have to break free. But see, people have loved to put on a burden on other people. They love to line up other people to tell them what they should or shouldn't do. And instead of letting the Holy Spirit speak to them and help guide them. We as believers, we have to be so careful of our judgmental, hypocrisy, and critical kind of ways that we work. Because when we're doing that, we're burdened slaves. We're not experiencing the freedom that Christ has called us to live in. The fact is, a burdened slave depends on the past rather than walking in the present. They depend on the past rather than walking in the present. So if you ask them about their personal relationship, what has Jesus been telling you today? What's happening this week in your life in the spiritual journey? They'll point to past rather than present. We need to have a vital relationship with Christ now. Now. You need to be seeking to see how God is working in your life now. Not just past. I have great things that God has shown me in his word in the past. But what's he showing you now? What is he teaching you? What is he leading you? How is he helping you to grow? How is he convicting your heart to say, boy, I need to make sure that's more a part of my life? What is happening as you are walking in the present? What sorrow awaits you, for you build monuments for the prophets your own ancestors killed long ago. So they look back always at their past, and that's where they rest on. That was characteristic of the Pharisees, and God has called us to live in a present world. And so how is God working in your life? A burden slave becomes a hindrance to the faith of others because there's no joy. There's no excitement. There's no anticipation. We're finding so many other things that are part of our lives. And that's why he says, what sorrow awaits you, experts in the religious law, for you remove the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering it. Why? Because they've slipped into legalism. They've slipped into following a bunch of laws. Freedom servants are free not to sin. This is an interesting perspective because William Barclay says it this way, Christian freedom is not license for the simple, but tremendous reason that the Christian is not a man who has become free to sin, but a man who, by the grace of God, has become free not to sin. God calls us into a different relationship, and that's why freedom does not allow us to indulge our sinful nature. So we say, what does that mean? Because freedom just doesn't say, well, go ahead and do anything you want. Some people think, okay, because now I have the grace of God, I am free to do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter. No, not at all true, because Scripture says, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So don't allow yourself to slip into doing whatever you like. Make sure that you understand freedom frees us to serve one another. That's what it does. And there's a joy in it. There's a joy in it. And that's why he says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So you'll find a greater joy, a greater love, a greater opportunity to be able to follow him. Freedom frees us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we start to understand and seek after him to say, how can I do this? I need to see, how do I love me? Well, that's how I love others. And so I need to be able to love others, and so I think about my own needs. When I'm hungry, I think that it's, you know, I'm hungry. And so it hits my head. And, you know, the whole difference, you know, they always say the difference between male and female is like oftentimes, you know, a guy, if he says, are you hungry? And they're traveling, and to his wife, and she says, well, not really. And he says, well, I am. And they go off and they get food. If she says, are you hungry? She's just testing the water, not necessarily. And he says, no, and he keeps driving. The fact is, what we need to do is think about what are their needs. And that will help us in our relationships. The fact is that if we would love others as we love ourselves. So we think about our own physical needs, our own desires, but let's think about what about others and how can we serve them? The whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's how we need to love others. We need to demonstrate. Freedom does not allow us to battle and conflict with others, but rather live in peace with one another. In the body of Christ, we've been called to live in peace. And we've been called to love one another, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. And that's the importance. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Be aware of destroying one another. The body of Christ must have that kind. So what do we need to look at? But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Here's the way that we live. Here's the way that we live. I'm not so worried about how everyone else is lining up. I'm worried about how I'm doing. I'm not going to be worried about, are they doing all the right things? Lord, am I doing the right things? How are you directing my life? So keep running the race. God's called us in this. He says, keep running. Don't let anyone cut in. Don't let anything distract you. Keep free from burdens. Don't be heaping on a pile of do's and don'ts. Allow the Holy Spirit to be able to work in your life, to teach you and to guide you. His Spirit is given there as a guide, as a direction. Sure, we look at those around us, but I want to tell you, if you look and just reproduce what you see around you, you're going to have a lesser version of what they are and what you are. And what happens? We keep watering down the gospel because we each keep trying to be something that someone else is. Let's be what Jesus is. Let's let him set the pace. Let's let him give us the direction, and we can be able to understand. Keep honest in your faith. If you just be honest with yourself, you know, I fail. There are times I fail. There are times I wish I were much better at things in living my life for God. There are times I wish I could be more of all that he would want me to be, but there are times I fail. Just make sure you're honest in your faith. If you're honest in your faith journey, God has the grace to carry you. And that's why it's so important that we would make sure we're seeing that. And also, remember, you're a free servant. You have freely chosen to serve God. You have freely chosen. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not, they're not burdensome, folks. They're not burdensome. If your faith journey is a burden, you're headed in the wrong direction. Something's cut in and it's taken away your joy. You need to make sure that you're going to be more determined than ever to say, no, I want to be a free servant, not a burdened slave. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege that is ours of following you. Lord, you've called us to be free servants. And yet it's so easy for us to become burdened slaves. And the light of Christ becomes slowly dimmed by all the struggles that are a part of our life. Help us to seek after you with our whole heart. Help us to be more determined than ever to allow the light of Christ shine forth in us. Help us to find the joy once again of seeking after you and following you. In Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you.